This is Law and Gospel. Thank you for joining us. In this segment, we're going to talk about E.T. Remember that film E.T.? E.T. Phone Rome? No, that's not a mistake. Not E.T. Phone Home, but it's E.T. Phone Rome. Tom and I are going to talk about a story that was in the AP wires. I'm Roland Lettner.
I'm Tom Baker.
505-780-2727 segment. We'll continue into the next segment with some open lines and maybe continue this discussion on. But, Tom, I'm sure you've seen this story in the Associated Press. It said, the headline screams out, Vatican looks to heavens for signs of alien life. Now, that caught my attention. And I noticed that this really got some legs over the weekend with some of the national news programs. Let me play a little bit of audio from Fox and Friends. They're talking to Jonathan Morris, who's a Catholic priest who does some religious work for them.
Is the Vatican entering the final frontier? Yeah, the Catholic Church just held a week-long conference with 30 scientists to discuss the possibility of alien life and what that might mean for faith and the Church.
It's about time. Fox News contributor Father Jonathan
Clayton
Morris
got to them.
And just like E.T., he phoned home. Father Jonathan phoned some sources in Rome and got all the details. Father, nice to see you this morning.
E.T. phoned Rome.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that was that.
Very catchy.
This is, I think to a lot of people, when you first hear this, say, wow, this is kind of a major breakthrough for the Catholic Church. Is it or isn't it?
Well, let me tell you, these weren't Catholic scientists that came together to support the Catholic Church's vision of something. And that was what was so unique. Here is 30 of the top astrobiologists, physicists, cosmologists, astronomers who are coming and saying, this is what we know about the possibility of extraterrestrial intelligent life form.
Uh-huh.
And together with philosophers and theologians who are listening and saying, what would this mean? If there is extraterrestrial intelligent life form, what would it mean about our understanding of some of the basic principles of the creation of the world, about original sin, the Adam and Eve story, that type of thing.
And what would it mean? Yeah. What are the findings?
Well, you know what? First of all, we haven't found any aliens, okay? The Pope has not been standing up there on the roof of the Sistine Chapel
but
looking for UFOs.
We're not convinced about Clayton just yet.
Oh, wait a second.
But go on.
I should introduce the two together.
Well, see, my position has long been, I mean, you look at all of the evidence and all of the astronomers and these leading, leading people in this field and say, well, you know, you have to be kind of arrogant to believe that we are the only people in the universe. We are the only life forms in the universe. But what does this mean, though, for the Catholic Church
right.
and faith?
Well,
is it an affront? Is it an affront to faith?
Yes, I think also bringing up with Ali's question as well, it's not an affront. Real science can never be an affront to faith. The problem is when we go in with ideology and we say this could never be because I know this to be true. What we have to say is let science be science. Make sure that science is not driven also by ideology. We're going to prove there is no God, therefore.
But the Catholic Church has not always felt this way.
There's been inglorious moments.
Heliocentric universe, thinking that the sun, or, you know, that the earth is at the center of the universe, that certainly was not the case.
What's been the reaction? Is there outrage?
You know what, when I put on Facebook that I was going to be talking about, there was outrage. Wow, the Vatican, the last bastion of tradition, is falling. But you know what, that's not the case. You also look, there's been inglorious moments, but you look in the past, there's been monks and priests and people of religion who have been at the forefront of science, the forefront of culture, teaching mathematics, teaching physics. And so I think this is a moment in which we say, let's study science, and let's bring in the best of scientists to teach us what we know, and then let's grow in our understanding of those same perennial truths.
Galileo would be proud.
He would. I'm sure he's celebrating.
Thanks so much, Father.
You're welcome.
She asked the question that never got answered. What would it mean? This was really a very, very confusing. I really did not follow this at all. I mean, it's one thing to say that Catholic or non-Catholic scientists are getting together to check out if there are extraterrestrial life forms. Now, I already know the answer to that. Of course there are. I can't imagine a planet somewhere that doesn't have plants of some sort. Or that if we could get the water off of these planets, even our own solar system, we would have microbes swimming in them. I mean, it's not absolutely pure water. They never really defined extraterrestrial life forms. In fact, here was a quote. It's kind of arrogant that we think we are the only people or life forms in the universe. Now, I probably agree that it's kind of arrogant to think we're the only life forms, but to think that we're the only people, I think the Bible is pretty clear that people were only created on Earth. And I think we would have a huge theological problem if actual human beings were found on other planets.
Now, Tom, I've read Genesis a couple of times, at least once.
Yes.
And I don't recall the statement that says man was created only on Earth.
No, but there is a statement that the first human beings were Adam and Eve, and that all who come from them have original sin. Now, pray tell, how could a planet 16 billion light years away have children of Adam and Eve? They never went into outer space. See, you don't read Genesis scientifically, you read it historically. So if there is such a thing as a human being somewhere else, I think that would be a huge problem for Christianity. Because how did they get there? How did they have original sin or not? Did Jesus just die for them? It's just amazing. I'm watching the History Channel a lot more, Roland, because it's better than watching the Cartoon Channel. It is unbelievable how many times they condition all their statements. If this is so, then this happened. Then now that they've said it, now they try and show how it happened, even though they have no evidence for it all. And I think you were making a point to me last week that some programs you listen to, the dinosaurs are so many years old, and another program, they're a billion more years old. It's just utterly ridiculous. It takes a lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does in creation.
Well, I know that the Fox and Friends Weekend Edition program was a little bit confusing to follow. It was kind of a rapid-fire, two-minute segment. But this is more interesting. This is a story that comes from CNN over the weekend as well. But listen to the difference in the way the interview is conducted. I'd like to get your feelings on this, your thoughts, because it's almost as it. Well, I'll let you listen to this. See if you can discern a difference in how the interview was conducted.
In the world, is the Vatican seemingly in the business of trying to find E.T.?
Yeah, it sounds like a stretch, doesn't it, TJ?
Yeah.
Well, the Vatican got interested in astronomy because they had to keep the calendar, and you need astronomers to do that. And actually, for the last 100 years, have been Jesuit priests doing research astronomy. So they have a tradition of being interested in astronomy. And maybe the idea of whether there's life out there, especially intelligent life, has an effect on the world's religions. So maybe they want to know the answer.
So do you get a sense from being out there, and you and at this summit, and scientists and astronomers, and you all gathered out there, but did you get a sense that maybe the Vatican wants to know before anybody else?
Well, I think science is such an open process these days that they're not going to have any privileged access to that information. I think maybe they're trying to prepare themselves because, you know, the discovery of alien life, again, especially intelligent life, would really be pretty profound because it would affect our relationship to the rest of the universe.
Does it seem, though, and again, you all are scientists out there. Sure, some of the scientists are religious folks, but for the most part, you all are out there working as scientists at the Vatican. But still, does it come up in your discussions at this conference as well how possibly some of the findings, if you did find evidence of life out there, that could directly contradict what we know and what we think about religion?
I think there's a distinction between whether we find microbial life, like germs. You know, I was thinking about your last segment. Wouldn't it be scary if we had to deal with alien germs? So that might not threaten the world's religions. But intelligent life, most of the world's major religions have a special relationship between humans and the Creator. And if there are a bunch of other intelligent aliens out there, what does that say about that relationship?
What does that say? And some say it would change the game, essentially, in this country. I'm going to put up something here for our viewers to see. I'm going to share it with you. It comes from Gary Bates, who's the head of an Atlanta-based Creation Ministries International. His quote saying here, "My theological perspective is that E.T. life, extraterrestrial life, would actually make a mockery of the very reason Christ came to die for our sins, for our redemption. Now, do you believe, you kind of hit on it there, but some validity to that statement that if you find intelligent life out there, do we almost have to start all over?
It makes you wonder whether we've just told ourselves a just-so story. Some of the major world's religions, like Buddhism, I don't think would be affected at all because they don't have such a very special story they tell about humans and their redemption.
And tell us this, out of that meeting, what more do we know? How close are we to maybe finding, and you talked about microbial life and organisms, but intelligent life, how close are we getting to possibly making that discovery?
Well, it's sort of going in two phases. We're looking for planets around other stars, and after finding none for decades, we now have over 400. And the smallest of those planets is only 2 times the mass of the Earth. So it's like a cousin of the Earth. So that's going to be a good place to try and look for the traces of life, its effect in the atmosphere. And then for looking for intelligent life, we listen for radio signals, sort of intelligent broadcasts, if you like, from aliens. And that activity hasn't succeeded, but of course it might at any time.
You said it has not succeeded, but we could pick up something on the radio any second now.
Well, our technology is improving so fast that the sum of all the previous listening and experiments is not that impressive. But with all the modern technology, our ability to listen in space is getting way better every year. And so people are more optimistic that the experiment is going to get interesting.
All right. And just curious, the Pope didn't pop into your meeting over there in the Vatican, did he?
No, but we were greeted and welcomed by Cardinal Lahalo, who's basically the head of the Vatican City-State. So that was a pretty high-level greeting.
Well, Tom, it seems to me that if you're arguing that there is intelligent extraterrestrial life, an ET kind of character, so to speak, that if it's ever discovered or reveals itself to us, we sort of have an epiphany, to use a bad term, this is going to kill God. God is dead. There is no religion, other than maybe Buddhism, as the fellow said. But the other thing that struck me is, if you don't agree with the scientist, you're kind of a dope.
Yes, because science is running this, and I'll tell you what science specifically, and it's really a shame that the Vatican has fallen into this trap. The only reason they think they're going to find it is because of their belief in evolution. They can't imagine having a planet, and he said they found 400 of them now, that are about the same distance from a sun that our planet is without finding some kind of life on it that just evolved. Now, here's how I would look at that. I don't believe in evolution at all when we're talking about macroevolution, that things come from nothing. But I wouldn't be surprised at all, and I liked what they did much better here in microbial. Is that how you pronounce that?
Microbial, yeah.
Microbial.
That's the stuff growing on your counter after you cut chicken.
Exactly. That, unless you think you have pure water out there, you're going to have, I'm almost sure, you'll have germs or microbes or who knows what God put there. But if it's there, it's because God in the creation of the universe did do that. That wouldn't surprise me at all to find a planet maybe with a large ocean where they would have whales or what we would consider to be pretty intelligent animals. I'm just amazed that a shark, one drop of blood in the ocean, he can smell 10 miles away. I don't see how that's possible. But now, do we call that intelligent? You see, I think we're misusing the word intelligent because it's on a sliding scale. A lot of dogs are said to be intelligent. And I wouldn't have any problem finding that God populated a world with dogs. That in no way would mean that that's true alien life. What's the significant difference between a really, really smart whale and a human being? Or a chimpanzee and a human being? It's called the soul. For me, what level of intelligent life would there have to be found that would destroy what I teach in Christianity? It would have to be an alien life that has a soul and has fallen into sin, since the whole world has fallen into sin. And I've often thought, what if they really had some ET characters that were maybe robotic or something like that? That wouldn't disturb the faith. But it would be interesting how they would work. But to really find intelligent life out there for which Christ didn't die, Now, there is one form of intelligent life, and those are angels, for which there is no hope of salvation. But when God looked at the universe, everything was good until the fall of man into sin. And then everything gets really messed up. So there were a couple of other things they said that I thought was very interesting. First of all, they, as of this time, have found no such evidence. And they feel that microbial life could be found, but intelligent life, they're looking for radio signals. So
they should listen to KFUO.
That's what I think.
Lots
because
of
then they'll find the only intelligent life. But in both of these items, I wish the question had been asked, because the individual they quoted was from a creationist point of view who said it would make a mockery of Christ's death and our redemption, which I believe it would if there were human beings found on other planets. To me, that's the only intelligent life that would cause a problem.
505-7850-1800-730-2727. It does surprise me. See, I would have pegged you for one of those guys who said, no, life on Earth only, that's the Genesis story, not a possibility anywhere else. But I was wrong.
I can't imagine there being water. In fact, looking at the History Channel, which I hate looking at because there's no history in it, it's all speculation about how things happened. It's pure speculation. And I know this because when they talk about when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, their final answer was, because there's no volcanoes in the area and there's a lot of ash there, that it was destroyed by alien forces who shot at it through spaceships. That actually was on A&E. I mean, that's the level people have gotten to. Once you buy into evolution, then you, first of all, can't imagine there not being another planet that evolved like us. But when you realize evolving isn't possible, then you come to the realization that unless God put somebody there, that person isn't going to be there.
Well, let's see what our listeners think about your comments, Tom. Let's go to... Looks like David. David, you're on with Pastor Baker. You have a question or comment about this?
A question as far as Roman Catholic teaching. I've heard this a lot about. They seem to hold a view of evolution. They don't really believe in the 24-hour, six-day creation.
That is a statement the Pope made recently, that they believe religion and science are so different that once science comes to some conclusions... And he must be thinking they must be facts or something, when every true evolutionist still speaks of the theory of evolution, and most talk about the hypothesis. It's hardly even reached the level of a theory. But you are absolutely correct that the Roman Catholic Church does permit the theory of evolution to be held by Roman Catholics as truth.
Yeah, it's almost like the same way with the story of Jonah. They don't really, they say it's like an allegory. It's not really, it could be factual, might not be factual.
It's called the historical critical method, David, that they look at the Bible the same way you look at your daily newspaper. When you read the editorials coming from the daily newspaper, do you believe them absolutely?
Well, yeah, I would think so.
Oh, so... You're reading an editorial that it says that Bush actually was a communist behind the scenes.
Okay, I might not be getting it then.
Yeah,
you're talking about opinion versus
opinions in the newspaper, the editorials, not like pictures and things about facts that have occurred, but I'm looking at the editorial page.
Okay, yeah, right.
Whoever believes that just because it's written there.
Right, yeah.
Because they have their biases. Well, if you think that's the way the Bible is... Then if you think Jesus is God, you'll make up a story about him walking on water or feeding 5,000. And there's a whole, it's called the Jesus Seminar, that vote on what things really happen historically. So they just assume the Bible evolved in the minds of human beings and is not a direct revelation from God. The same problem in looking at the Bible is found in looking at creation. Evolution rather than a direct action of God.
Oh, that really kind of scares me, because do you think most Catholics fall for that or what?
I'm ignorant. Oh, what, do you know, Roland, have you ever seen any stats on...
No, I have not. I wouldn't.
In fact, I would almost say...
Yeah, I wouldn't venture a guess on it for one simple reason, yeah. Tom. My wife, who was Catholic when I married her,
right.
We often had religious discussions, theological discussions, and she would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I know they teach that, but yes. I don't believe that.
In fact, I just remembering Roland talked about, was it ACRIS you were telling me last week about?
The American Religious Identity Survey.
Yeah, I actually now have a booklet of it I made up. But one of the things, it was either there or another one. Right now, the majority of people in the United States of America do not believe in macroevolution.
Right.
Isn't that interesting, David? So a majority of them would be partly Roman Catholics, etc.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for the call, David. Let's go, let's see. We have time to get the question from Nancy in, and then if we have to answer it when we come back from the break, Nancy, just keep on listening. Go ahead. You're on with Pastor Tom.
Okay, thanks. I was just had an imaginative thought. What if, you know, they did find the alien beings and kind of like on Close Encounters movie, they were getting all ready to see them, and then they get to see them, and the first thing that they did was show their most prized possession, and it was the Bible. And they had the same book as we do. And then what would those guys say? It'd be all true.
Yeah, I tell you, doesn't the devil give us imaginative thoughts again and again?
Yes.
I mean, and also their spaceships in the form of a cross.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I should have found the audio from that bad Mel Brooks movie where they have the Jewish guys flying around in the Star of David in space,
yeah.
And they sing that song. That's pretty good.
There's one other option there, Nancy.
Yes.
Would you ever think it possible you're alone in your house and a alien does appear in the house like you're just describing? Do you think that's even at all possible?
Oh, no, I don't believe that at all.
Well, I do.
I think it's fiction, yeah.
Nancy, I do.
What?
Yeah.
No, did you hear me, Nancy?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I say I do.
You believe in space aliens, Tom.
No, I was very careful how I asked the question. She's alone in the house, and an alien appears before her, says he's from outer space, doesn't look like anything at all here on Earth. I think that's absolutely possible. You know what the answer is?
What is the answer?
It's the devil in disguise.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Demons?
Demons can take forms. They did in the Old Testament. Remember the witch in Endor talking, bringing down the spirit of Elijah? The demonic you do not want to fool around with, Nancy, because the demons do have permission sometimes from God to do things that would be otherworldly, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. If I had that alien in my front room, I hope I would have the remembrance to say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah. You know, I actually meant it the other way. I'm sorry. That it would be like, you know, kind of like those guys would, what would they say then? You know, it was just kind of a, I mean, no.
Yes.
I don't know.
No, I understand.
You know what, Tom?
I believe in Jesus, and I just thought, you know, that was just an imaginative thought.
I'll have to get out my Ouija board and consult it and see what it says.
That's right. No, we understood what you were saying, Nancy, and it was a great kind of example. But you see, a lot of people actually think they see Jesus in their bedroom sometimes, and we know that's not true because they would be toast.
Uh-huh, yeah.
If you get my meaning.
I do, yeah.
Not that Jesus cannot influence people near deathbed, believe that they're hearing Jesus, inviting them into heaven. I'm not going to say Jesus doesn't do those things. I just would not take anything they say as though that was gospel truth and preach it from the pulpit.
Unless it's in the Bible.
Well said.
Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy.
All right, Nancy, thanks for the call. We'll have a few moments after this break to continue the discussion, and maybe Tom will tell me where he was hanging out the past couple of days. This is Law and Gospel. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you dare leave, because we'd miss you if you did. What do you think Jesus Christ looks like? Perhaps something like the artistic renderings with which we're all familiar? Or does he look like the Son of Man as depicted in Revelation chapter 1? We'll be in that text next time on our Bible study program. Our guest will be Pastor Gregory Alms.
Revelation 1, verse 9. Next time on the Bible Study.
Underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri has a lot to celebrate with you during the month of November. Last year, Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri placed 127 children in Forever Families through their domestic and international adoption programs. Find out how to celebrate during the month of November by visiting the website lfcsmo.org. There's a number of free events happening in the community. Visit lfcsmo.org.
Genesis teaching. Now, when do we need it? Answers with Ken Ham, one of the authors of the new Answers book. At one of our Answers in Genesis conferences, a teacher at a Christian school came up to me and said something surprising. Her principal wouldn't let the students attend our special school assembly on Genesis. He insisted that because the school had attended our program a couple of years ago, the students had already heard the message, and therefore they didn't need to come again. Well, I said, think about this. We celebrate Easter and Christmas each year, the same stories about Jesus' birth and death on the cross, year after year. Do you ever get tired of hearing them? We celebrate these important events so we don't forget them. We read the same passages over and over again in the Bible so we won't forget them. And look at the Israelites. No matter how much they were reminded of God's law, they still forgot. Most of us don't even remember what our pastor preached last week. Genesis is foundational to the rest of the Bible. We need to be reminded of its important truths over and over again.
Have you ever taken time to consider how wonderfully designed the human body is? It's a testimony to God's wonderful handiwork. This week, we're offering the opportunity to read a sample copy of our Answers magazine on the human body. For a donation of any amount today, we'll send it in the mail to you. Call our nonprofit ministry toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web at answersoffer.org.
You dive for the remote and quickly change the channel, but it's already too late. Your child was exposed to an offensive show or ad. On the next Focus on the Family, author Rebecca Hagland shares practical tips for raising kids to be engaged in the culture, but not engulfed by it. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
When we read Paul's exhortations to rejoice in the Lord always, does it mean to be exuberant? Does it mean to be jubilant? Or is there a deeper spiritual meaning? That was the question we put to Pastor Chuck Spomer on the Bible Study.
Rejoicing can happen in the midst of the most dire circumstances that we can experience in life. Rejoicing can happen in the concentration camp. Rejoicing can happen in prison. Rejoicing can happen at the deathbed. Rejoicing can happen when the finances have gone south. Rejoicing can happen in the direst of circumstances. There's a difference between rejoicing and being happy. The circumstances of my life do not affect my rejoicing. What affects my rejoicing is what Christ has done for me. And that's why this, the Lord is near, is the essential word that Paul says here in context of rejoicing.
You can call in to our live Bible study program weekday mornings at 10:05.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky, but one long horn and one big eye. I come Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people.
This is Long Gospel. Having more fun than two guys talking about theology should have. I'm Roland Lettner.
And one-eyed purple people eater, since we don't have any purple people, that would definitely have to be on another planet.
You haven't gone to some of the frat parties I attended when I was in college.
Oh, no. No, I haven't. What do you digest to go purple?
I don't know, but I saw them. I'm sure of it.
What we are trying to talk about here...
That's Tom Baker, by the way.
Yep, and you are?
I'm Roland Lettner. I said that twice already.
And we are trying to talk about why the Vatican is trying to discover extraterrestrial intelligent life. In fact, there's two quotes from the article that I was reading that I found really interesting. On the one hand, the Roman Catholic Church with science has come a long way since Galileo was tried as a heretic in 1633, forcing to recant his finding that the earth revolves around the sun.
Now, bingo. This is what I picked up from CNN. They asked the one question about why does the Vatican want to be the first to know?
Right.
And being the, you know, conspiracy theorist that I am, that like with Galileo, it would be to repress the truth. Kind of like the Da Vinci Code, we're going to repress the truth so that we can control our power and our people.
The other way is to find it out ahead of time so that they don't come out against it and look like the fools they were before.
That's a good point, too.
In fact, the next paragraph even touches more. Top clergy, and that's in the Roman Catholic Church, openly endorse scientific ideas like the Big Bang Theory as a reasonable explanation for the creation of the universe. The theory says that the universe began billions of years ago in the explosion of a single super-dense point that contained all matter.
Now, Funes is the clergyman who is the Jesuit astronomer who was one of the participants in the conference.
Yeah, I looked at the History Channel, and they had at least a dozen different theories how all matter was in one single point, and it exploded. Now stop and think about that. To believe that that's how this universe... Where did this single point of matter come from? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. In contrast, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I'll take the latter any day over a single super-dense point that contained all matter exploding. You see, this is why it says later on in the article, and you can hardly believe it that they say this, that it's only in a matter of time the European Space Agency said that the discovery of alien life is only a few years away.
Yeah, they do sort of assume it'll happen. But let me draw your attention to this part of the AP story. Working with scientists to explore fundamental questions that are of interest to religion is in line with the teaching of Pope Benedict XVI, who has made strengthening the relationship between faith and reason, a key aspect of his papacy. Faith is not reasonable, is it?
According to Corinthians, the natural man cannot grasp the things of faith. They are foolishness to him. And so science is a left-hand kingdom kind of observation. What I mean by that, that's what the temporal world can see, and you can have superior scientists who are atheists. You need no faith to be a good scientist. In fact, I thought the better argument was in that first interview on Fox News, where they were kind of talking about that, and he made the point, let science be science and let it not be driven by ideology. Well, I don't know when the Vatican is going to try and discover that the reason the top evolutionists are pushing evolution is because they want a natural explanation for all of reality. They are stuck in what we call materialism. Only what you see, hear, think, smell, and taste is true. And therefore, not only does materialism show how things happen, but everything must be explained by materialism. You cannot be an evolutionist and bring God into the picture.
Just for the sake of argument, I'll launch this at you with about a few minutes left. Can you understand the argument the scientists are making? Life would be so much more free if we weren't hung up on God. You know, if a scientist wanted to have relations with a man this weekend and relations with something on four legs the following, it's God who's telling him that's wrong.
See, that's commonsensical reason, but from a biblical law gospel point, life would be horrid. Who was one of the top evolutionists recently in Germany of 1940s and on? His name was...
I'm trying to remember.
Adolf...
Otto von Klusendorf.
No, unless he was nicknamed. It was Adolf Hitler. I would hate to live in a world run by evolutionists. First of all, there therefore are no known moralities. Whatever you think is right. Whoever has the power runs the show. So if you're going to decide that Jews are subhuman, or babies in the womb are subhuman, or blacks are subhuman, or Indians are subhuman, nobody's going to be able to stop you, because there's nothing in the evolutionary scheme that you can point to say you're wrong. In other words, I would hate to live under an evolutionary society where there was no God with real morality. In fact, if we take a look at history, Roland, it's the downfall of empires when God is left out of the picture. Even our founding fathers, and this was so interesting, Pastor Kurowski, when we were in gospel outreach, and they were fascinated by this, was pointing out that much of the Constitution of the United States, they thought they were getting from the Bible, and he would agree with them. That doesn't mean they believe that all of them were believers in Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, but the morality and the way that God runs the earth and the way they want the United States run was revelation from the Bible.
Yeah, I've heard him talk about how you look at the Ten Commandments and you can see the styling of how they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yes, and you take that away and you're going to end up in a society that is in total chaos. Evolution doesn't free you, it totally binds you to those who are in power, and you have a despot running the show. So from a law and gospel point of view, if you take away the law, there's no hope, no gospel at all. And that kind of falls back on our previous discussion with Dr. Rutt, where he was talking about how the gospel moves. You know where it's moving to? It's moving to areas where people don't have the kind of self-glory and material things. They're poor, etc.
God is all they've got.
And that hope from the Christian faith is all that they have.
I've said frequently I've said in the classes that I have the privilege of teaching at Ascension that it seems so much harder to be a Christian in the Western culture because you've got an iPod and cable TV and all these things. When you're a refugee in the Sudan and all you have is a rag to wrap around yourself, what else have you got but God?
That's why I believe the Christian message is really touching minds and hearts in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, where Concordia Mission Society is. And by the way, where people are listening to KFUO radio, because they can go to KFUO.org. In other words, we are where you are. And if you're in Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan, I know I have some friends who are definitely listening to KFUO radio.
What time of day is it over there right now?
It's very close to China, but it's off about 2 hours from China. So if it's, 5:42 here, it's probably about 3:42 there in the morning.
In the morning?
Yes.
Boy, you're making them get up awfully early.
No, when you go to KFUO.org, you get what are called archive programs, namely programs that are on there and they can download whatever they like to do.
It would be fascinating to travel that part of the world and find a guy with an iPod listening to Tom Baker in the middle of the day in Kyrgyzstan.
It's amazing how many of them have cell phones. I was on the plane as we were coming in, and as soon as the lights went out, almost every ear a cell phone was taken. It was just amazing how many people are using cell phones today. And that's why KFUO Radio is really looking into encouraging you to get those kind of cell phones where you can actually hear the broadcast of KFUO Radio while you're walking around wherever you're at.
Hey, speaking of encouragement, listen tomorrow. We want to encourage you to do that because we're going to talk about the creeds, confessing the creeds, confessing the first God, the Father Almighty. What does this mean? What is a creed anyway? Tom will get into that. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
God bless.
Good night.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker and Roland Lettner, Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.